Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, my guest, Dr. Petty, has not been able to make it today for our interview, so we will be rescheduling him. But in the interim, we're going to have a mocha open mic hour. So I'm going to be giving out telephone numbers here where you'll be able to call at any time during the hour, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. And I'll be able to take your call again at any time during the hour. My guest, Dr. Robert Petty, I believe, is out of the country, and so consequently we are not able to make the connection with him for the show this afternoon, but we will be booking another interview with him later on. Well, I've got a lot of good things to share with you today. One of them I wanted to start off with is about a woman named Sherry Schmelzer. Now, this is a woman who was never, in her mind's eye, a person that could be an entrepreneur. But life sometimes hands us opportunities, and that's what happened with her. Now, this was a few years ago. There's a style of shoe called a croc. And if you really want to look at them, there's nothing really particularly attractive about them. They have been extremely popular, primarily because they're very, very comfortable on your feet. And now you have all kinds of stores that carry them, and you can get them anywhere from $7 on up, depending on where you buy them. And she said her family just loved this. They had like 12 pairs. She said, my kids and I were clowning around one day, and my eldest daughter, Lexi, got our sewing kit out, and I grabbed one of these crocs, pulled out some buttons, rhinestones, and fabric out of my sewing kit, and stuck them in the hole. Well, her daughter said, Mom, that is just so cool. Well, then her two daughters, Sherry and Lexi, took the rest of the day playing with the stuff out of Mom's sewing kit and filling holes in every one of the shoes that the family had, all these crocs, all 12 pair of them. So every shoe that had looked exactly like every other one now was very unique. Her husband comes home, and he was an entrepreneur. He had done two different businesses and had gone through various experiences. He comes home, and he sees what his family's done, and the light bulbs in the brain just started popping and shining. So he thought, you know, this shoe design has sold millions. And he said, I bet we could create a business simply by riding the wave of popularity with these shoes. And he refused to let a decorated croc leave their house until he filed a patent for this. But they needed a name. So they tried to brainstorm over this, and then they decided they were going to come up with a name, and it was Gibbets. She had a memory recall with a movie where one character said to the other, oh, you're such a flibbertigibbet. So that's where she got the name Gibbets. She just adapted it from that. So she found a way to get her ideas made in plastic, manufactured in China, but she wasn't too excited about that. She was spending so much time refunding money for the broken gibbets, etc. So she was getting pretty discouraged. The shoes were popular, but she was getting very discouraged about this. So Her husband, Rich, said, look, you can't do everything yourself. You're going to need some help. And let's get this out of the house. You got to be able to separate the business from the home. Well, sure enough, the company was headquartered just 10 miles down the road from where they lived. And Duke Hansen, one of Croc's founders, spotted Lexi and her gibbets at the local pool, handed her his business card, and said, have your mom give me a call. Well, the next thing that happened is Sherry and Rich met with Croc's execs, but no one suggested buying the company. Sherry was actually relieved because she wanted to see if she, not the Croc company, could make it big. So, biding her time, it enabled her to develop over 300 designs and sign up for 1,000 retail outlets. She had more products, more customers, and better distribution. The company was growing. And in December 2006, the shoe company Crocs bought her company, Jibbitz, for $20 million. However, they kept the couple that started Jibbitz on board. So, her husband, Rich, has been able to work on licensing deals. Spider-Man and Bugs Bunny apparently have become a part of the collection of more than 3,000 gibbets. And Sherry, she's gotten into designing messenger bags and cell phone cases. And it's enabled the company that does the Crocs to diversify. Their stock fell a little bit, but their diversification helped to fill that void. So, they don't know how long these shoes are going to be really popular. But she said, it is amazing how far you can go with one simple idea. She said, I can remember family and friends saying, gee, there are holes right there. Why didn't I think of that? You know, I have a copy of the Crocs that they have worked with, and they're just adorable. They really have done a superb job with this. But it's just imagination, isn't it? It's looking at something with a different perspective. And when I was thinking of getting ready for the show today, I thought, this is really something we always need to keep in mind. Not all of us are going to become multimillionaires, and not all of us are going to have these phenomenal ideas, but sometimes it is very simple to make a change that can make a difference. It's amazing what your mind can possibly can come up with. And with a little bit of action and ingenuity, here was a family that just decided they were going to do something fun for themselves. They weren't concerned about doing something for anybody else. This was the farthest thing from their mind. But it did take the observation of the husband, who was of an entrepreneurial disposition and attitude, to be able to recognize an opportunity when it was there. It can be a cookie, it can be a croc shoe, it can be something on a computer system or doing a house. There is no limit to creative imagination. So if you're a person that likes to tinker and likes to design, you may be the next accidental entrepreneur. So I'm so happy to share that story because I think it's always a delight. By the way, I want to thank those of you who are sending me such wonderful, wonderful stories. And yesterday, I started to relate some information about women and heart attacks. This was sent to me by Janet, and it's written by a nurse, and I thought, this is so important, it needs to be shared. But if you have a story, and I'm going to share the rest of the story with you, but if you have a story, a recipe, something special that you would like to share with me, then why don't you just send me an email? Send it to donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. And then when I'm able to, I'll be happy to share it on the air. Now, yesterday I had started giving this information because this is by a woman, Diane, who lives in Arizona, and she is a nurse. And she said she was aware that female heart attacks are different, but this is the best description that she had ever had. In fact, this was a personal experience that she went through. So I'm going to give it to you exactly as it was sent to me. She said, women and heart attacks, myocardial infarction, do you know that women rarely have the same dramatic symptoms that men have when experiencing heart attacks? Women don't necessarily get the sharp stabbing pain in the chest. They don't get the cold sweats. grabbing a chest, dropping to the floor, all that you see in the movies. Now, this is a true story. This woman said, I had a completely unexpected heart attack at about 10:30 p.m. with no prior exertion, no prior emotional trauma that one would suspect might have brought it on. I was sitting all snug and warm on a cold evening with my cat in my lap reading an interesting story a friend had sent me and thinking, oh, this is the life. I'm all cozy and warm. But, gee, I've got it made. I'm just really enjoying myself. She said, a moment later, I felt that awful sensation of indigestion when you've been in a hurry and grabbed a bite of sandwich and washed it down with a dash of water. And that hurried bite seems to feel like you've swallowed a golf ball going down the esophagus in slow motion, and it's most uncomfortable. You realize you shouldn't have gulped it down so fast, and you need to chew it more thoroughly, and this time drink a glass of water to hasten its progress down to the stomach. This was my initial sensation. The only trouble was that I hadn't taken a bite of anything since about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. After that seemed to subside, the next sensation were little squeezing motions that seemed to be racing up my spine. She said, in hindsight, it probably was my aorta spasming. Now, these sensations, these squeezing motions, were gaining speed as they continued racing up and down my sternum, which is the breastbone where you can press rhythmically when administering CPR. And she said she observed this fascinating process continuing on into her throat and branching out into both jaws. She said, when that happened, she knew she didn't have to be puzzled about what was going on. She said, we've all heard about pain in the jaws being one of the signals of a heart attack. She said, uh-oh, I'm having one. So she lowered the footrest on her chair. She dumped the cat out of her lap. She started to take a step, and she fell down on the floor instead. So she's totally conscious about what's going on. She said, if this is a heart attack, I shouldn't be walking into the next room where the phone is or anywhere else. But on the other hand, if I don't, nobody will know that I need help, and if I wait any longer, I may not be able to get up in a moment. So she pulled herself up with the arms of the chair, walked slowly into the next room, and dialed the paramedics. She told them she thought she was having a heart attack due to the pressure building under the sternum and radiating into her jaws. She wasn't hysterical. She wasn't afraid. She just gave them the facts. And the woman that answered the phone for the paramedics said the paramedics would be over immediately and ask if the front door was near to me, and if so, to unbolt the door and then lie down on the floor where they could see me when they came in. She said, I laid down on the floor as instructed and lost consciousness, as I don't remember the medics coming in. I don't remember their examining me, lifting me onto a gurney, or getting me into their ambulance, or hearing the call they made to St. Jude ER on the way. But I did briefly awaken when we arrived and saw that the cardiologist was already there in his surgical blues and caps, helping the medics pull my stretcher out of the ambulance. He was bending over me asking questions, probably something like, have you taken any medications? But I couldn't make my mind interpret what he was saying or form an answer, and nodded off again, not waking up until the cardiologist and his partner had already threaded the teeny angiogram balloon up my femoral artery into the aorta and into my heart, where they installed two side-by-side stents to hold open my right coronary artery. She said, I know it sounds like all my thinking and actions at home must have taken at least 20 to 30 minutes before calling the paramedics, but actually it took perhaps 4 to 5 minutes before the call. And both the fire station and St. Jude's are only minutes away from my home, and my cardiologist was all ready to go to the OR in his scrubs and get going on restarting my heart, which had stopped somewhere between my arrival and the procedure and installing the stents. Now, Diana said, why have I written all of this to you with so much detail? Because I want all of you who are so important in my life to know what I learned firsthand. One, be aware that something very different is happening in your body. Not the usual men's symptoms, but inexplicable things happening until my sternum and jaws got into the act. It is said that many more women than men die of their first and last heart attack because they didn't know they were having one and commonly mistake it as indigestion. Take some Maalox or other anti-heartburn preparation and go to bed, hoping they'll feel better in the morning when they wake up, which doesn't happen. She said, my female friends, your symptoms might not be exactly like mine, so I advise you to call the paramedics if anything is unpleasantly happening that you've not felt before. It is better to have a false alarm visitation than to risk your life guessing what it might be. Two, note that I said call the paramedics, ladies. Time is of the essence. Do not try to drive yourself to the ER. You're a hazard to others on the road, and so is your panicked husband, who will be speeding and looking anxiously at what's happening with you instead of the road. Do not call your doctor. He doesn't know where you live, and if it's at night, you won't reach him anyway, and if it's daytime, his assistants or answering service will tell you to call the paramedics. He doesn't carry the equipment in his car that you need to be saved. The paramedics do, principally oxygen that you need as soon as possible. Your doctor will be notified later. Three, don't assume it couldn't be a heart attack because you have normal cholesterol count. Research has discovered that a cholesterol elevated reading is rarely the cause of a heart attack unless it's unbelievably high and or accompanied by high blood pressure. Heart attacks are usually caused by long-term stress and inflammation in the body, which dumps all sorts of deadly hormones into your system to sludge things up there. Pain in the jaw can wake you from a sound sleep. Let's be careful and be aware. The more we know, the better chance we could survive. Diane, thank you very much. And Janet, who forwarded Diane's story to me, I want to thank you because I think that that's so important. Ladies, pay attention. It is something that is important. And with our environment and today's world, more women are having heart attacks than ever before known in history. Of course, it may have been that way pretty much all along, just that we just didn't know very much about the woman's anatomy. And in today's world, we are learning more about a female anatomy where we can have an attitude of prevention. So it is important, ladies. And for you guys that are listening, let those special ladies in your life know about this. Donna Sebo here. My guest, Dr. Petty, is out of the country and is unable to do his interview today. We will be rescheduling that. In the interim, this is going to be an open mic hour, so give me a buzz if you would like to chat with me. My number here or numbers here are 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And we also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Well, I don't know about your part of the world, but here in the Pacific Northwest, a new law has been passed where you cannot hold a cell phone up to your ear. If you are seen talking on a cell phone in that manner, you are going to be given a nice fat ticket. I mean, a very expensive ticket. So, as of the 1st of July, I believe it is, we are going to have Bluetooth, or you're going to have a headset, something that keeps you hands-free of your cell phone. Well, not only do we have to deal with that, which I'm not so sure that that's not a good idea to do it, but you have to take care of that if you're in the state of Washington. And having been across the country in the last few weeks, I would say this is probably going to be something that's going to be pretty much the norm in the coming year or so. With a cell phone, which it's amazing, isn't it, how we lived without a cell phone. But now that we have them, they are just a part of everyday life. Well, now we have to deal with spam on cell phones. Yes. Spam. You think you've got it with email? Guess what? You're going to get a lot of it on your cell phone. And here's some information that I came across that I thought you might want to hear about because it was of interest to me, and I thought, hey, we're having to get new cell phones that are going to be okay with the new Bluetooth technology, so we are going to find that the more sophisticated units that we have are going to be subject to this spam situation. This is what you do if you want to curb it. You have home internet access, and about one-fourth of cell phone users receive 1 to 5 spam text messages during a 6-month period. Now, this is an evaluation that was done recently. It was a 2008 survey conducted by Consumer Reports National Research Center. Now, 1 to 5 messages is bad enough. But 1.6% of those respondents, that projects to 1.2 million people nationwide, received more than 25 spam messages during that time. Now, cell phone owners who don't have a text messaging plan might have to pay up to 20 cents for each unwanted message. So when they send it to you, you are going to get billed for it. Now, since 2005, the CAN-SPAM Act has prohibited commercial email and text messages from being sent to cell phones without express prior authorization. However, the law, as it was structured, has loopholes. So your carrier and its partners can send offers, and charities and campaigns can send you messages on your dime. Now, here's how you can eliminate that spam, and you need to do this quickly. You can call your carrier as soon as you receive spam. Don't wait until several dozen of them pile up. And fill out the Federal Communication Commission's form 1088G. That's the Federal Communications Form 1088G. Now, you can go to their website, which is www.fcc.gov/cgb/complaints.html. That's fcc.gov/cgb/complaints.html. Or you can call the FCC at 888-225-5322. That's 888-225-5322. Also, you can block spam at the source. You can go to your cell account online and access your email or messaging preferences, then activate the setting that blocks messages over the Internet. Some carriers will let you block only some of these messages, allowing you to keep those from your bank, whatever you want. Also, register your cell. You can do it at www.donotcall.gov, which should block telemarketers from sending any communications to your number. So again, call www.donotcall.gov. And also, avoid some downloads. The ringtones and games from third-party vendors could lead to spam, fraudulent charges, or identity theft. Boy, just when you think you have everything under control, now you got a whole new situation with cell phones. Oh, yes. Never ends, does it? This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. Telephone numbers are 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. And again, if you've not done this before, it's really simple. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, let me do my thing, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you are interested in. And I wanted to also let you know about my guests that are going to be coming up. Next week, we're going to be talking on Monday about the war in the Pacific. Leon Cooper is a soldier that will be sharing some of his experiences regarding that. Then on Tuesday, we're going to be talking about a literary genius, Hamlin Garland. This is the story of his life. Keith Newland has put that information together. We're going to be talking about a man who affected the literary positioning in the United States in a very intensive way. By Duty Bound, Survival and Redemption in Vietnam, we're going to be talking with Brigadier General Enzel Ware, Jr. And then The Unknown Universe, Rich Hammond, a quantum physicist, is going to be on the air with us. And, of course, then a week from today, we're going to be enjoying the 4th of July. And the Donna Sebo Show will be live on air. So we've got a great lineup next week. I look forward to having you share it with me. And again, if you want to find out about the guests or lineup, you'll be able to find it on bbsradio.com. Also, when my newsletter comes out on the 1st, you'll also have a listing of all the guests there. And if you would like to get a subscription to the newsletter, which is totally free, all you have to do is send me an email at donna@delphiinternational.com, and I will be happy to put you on the mailing list. I received another email from Carol, and she said, Donna, this story I'm sending you, I really don't need to make a comment about it. I think you will enjoy it. And I did. And this is a story about a man named Carl. And it reads this way. Carl was a quiet man. He didn't talk very much. He'd always greet you with a big smile and a firm handshake. He lived in our neighborhood for over 50 years, and no one could say they really knew him very well. He just was a very private person. Before he retired, he took the bus to work every morning. He would be sort of a lonely sight when you'd watch him walking down the street. It worried many of us. We wanted to get to know him better, but he just didn't want anybody to get too close. He always limped because he had gotten a bullet wound in World War II, and it had permanently damaged his leg. When we'd watch him, we'd often be concerned because even though he had survived World War II, things were changing in this town that he was living in. The town was becoming more violent. There were gangs that had moved in. Drug activity had increased. And people felt so uncomfortable for him. This isn't such a good idea. He's getting older. He's in his middle 60s. He needs to be a little bit more careful. Well, one day, at a local church, he saw a flyer asking for volunteers to care for the gardens behind the minister's residence. And he said, I'd like to take care of it. I'd like to do it. He just signed up. Now, he was well into his 87th year when the very thing we had always feared finally happened. He was just finishing the watering of the garden for the day when three gang members approached him. He ignored them. He didn't pay any attention to their attempts to try to intimidate him. All he asked is, would you like a drink from the hose? Well, the tallest and toughest looking of these three said, yeah, sure. And they had a evil little smile when they responded. Carl offered the hose to the young man, and the other two grabbed Carl's arm. They threw him down to the ground. The hose was just going like a snake, real crazy all over the ground, dousing everything in its way. His assailants stole his retirement watch, his wallet, and then they fled. Now, Carl tried to get up, but he had been thrown down on his injured leg, and he lay there trying to gather himself as the minister came out. He had seen what had happened. He came out running to help him. And although the minister had witnessed the attack from his window, he couldn't get there quickly enough to stop what was going on. It just happened very, very fast. Of course, he was concerned. He asked Carl if he was all right, if he was hurt. And Carl just passed a hand over his brow, and he sighed, shaking his head. He said, just some punk kids. I hope they'll wise up one day. Now, his clothes were just soaked. He was so very, very small and slight at 87. But all he did was bend over, pick up the hose, adjust the nozzle, and continued what he had been doing. Well, the minister was a little bit concerned. He said, Carl, you've just been attacked in the most violent way. What do you think you're doing? Carl said, I've got to finish my watering. Everything's pretty dry. And that's all there was to it. The minister was amazed. He stayed with Carl. He thought to himself, this is a guy that is from a different time in a different place. Now, a few weeks later, these same three young punks returned. And just as before, their threat was not going to be challenged. Carl again offered them a drink from his hose. This time they didn't rob him. They wrenched the hose from his hand, drenched him from head to foot in the icy water. And when they had finished their humiliation of him, they sort of sauntered off down the street, throwing catcalls and curses and just falling over one another, laughing at the hilarity of what they had just done. I'm going to tell you the rest of this story after we come back from break. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment. Dr. Petty, again, was not able to join us today. We will be rescheduling his interview, but we're going to be back, and phone lines are open, so don't go away.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. I was talking about this elderly man, Carl, 87 years of age. He's been attacked not once, but twice by three punks. After the second attack, he picks up his hose, just like he did after the first one, goes on with his watering. Well, before long, summer ended up fading into fall. Carl was doing some tilling of the garden when he was startled during a day by a sudden approach of someone behind him. Because of being startled, he stumbled and he fell into some evergreen branches, and he struggled to regain his footing, and he turned to see the tall leader of his summer tormentors reaching down for him. Carl braced himself for another attack. This is what happened. This is what the young man said to Carl. "Don't worry, old man, I'm not going to hurt you this time." Now, when the young man said this, he spoke very softly, and he offered his tattooed and scarred hand to the elderly Carl. He helped Carl get up, and the man pulled a crumpled bag from his pocket and he handed it to Carl. Carl asked him, "What's this?" The young man said, "It's your stuff. It's your stuff back. Even the money that was in your wallet." Carl was really surprised and he told him, he said, "I don't understand this. Why would you help me now?" The young man looked down at the ground, shuffled his feet around a little bit. He was embarrassed, and he was obviously very uncomfortable. Then he looked Carl straight in the eye after lifting his head, and he said, "I learned something from you, old man. I ran with that gang, and I hurt other people just like you. Now, we picked on you because you were old, and we knew we could do it. But every time we came around you and we did something to you, instead of yelling and fighting back, you tried to give us a drink. You didn't hate us for hating you. You kept showing love against our hate." He looked away and was quiet for a moment. And then he said, "I couldn't sleep after we stole your stuff, so here it is back." This young man was quiet again for a little bit more time because he really didn't know what to say. Finally, he said, "That bag's my way of saying thanks for straightening me out, I guess." And then he turned away and walked down the street. Now, Carl looked down at the brown sack in his hands and very carefully opened it. Inside, there was his retirement watch. He took it out, put it back on his wrist. Inside also was his wallet. He checked for his wedding photo. He said he gazed at a moment at the young bride who still smiled back at him from all those years ago. Now, Carl died on a winter day after the following Christmas. There were a lot of people that attended his funeral, even though the weather was bitter, bitter cold. And the minister noticed during the service a very tall young man that he didn't know sitting quietly in a distant corner of the church. The minister spoke of Carl's garden as a lesson in life, And he said, do your best and make your garden as beautiful as you can. We'll never forget Carl and his garden. The minister, when he was talking about this, had tears running down his face. Now, the following spring, a flyer went up that read simply, person needed to care for Carl's garden. Now, the flyer, well, there was no response to it, until one day a knock was heard on the minister's office door. When he opened the door, he saw a pair, the minister noticed, a pair of scarred and tattooed hands holding the flyer. It was a young man. I believe this is my job, if you'll have me, he said. The minister then recognized this as the same young man who had returned the stolen watch and wallet to Carl. He knew that Carl's kindness had turned this man's life around. The minister handed him the keys to the garden shed. He said, yes, go and take care of Carl's garden and honor him. So this young man went to work, and over the next several years, he tended the flowers and vegetables just as Carl had done. During that time, he went to college, he got married, and became a very prominent member, a successful member of the community. But he never forgot his promise to Carl's memory and kept the garden as beautiful as he thought Carl would have kept it. Now, one day he went to the minister and he said he couldn't care for the garden any longer. He said, my wife just had a baby boy and she's bringing him home on Saturday. Well, the minister was thrilled for him, congratulating him. He said, it's wonderful. What's the baby's name? And he replied, Carl. Sometimes we don't realize how important our actions are. Carl was a man that was really not known well by very many people. He obviously had been through the violence of World War II, fought for the liberties that he believed in, incurred an injury. But he wasn't filled with hate. And at 87 years of age, he made a difference in a young man's life that turned him around in a very, very special way. I like that story. Carol, I want to thank you for sending it to me. You see, what you do, how you think, how you act, really makes a difference. It really does. And it's so easy to lose your cool, especially if you're tired, you're irritable, life hasn't been particularly consistently positive for you. There's all kinds of reasons we can give. Sometimes, just like these three punks, they may decide they're going to intimidate, they're going to terrify, they're doing all kinds of things. But Carl got through to one of them because he didn't give them his power. He did not do that. He said, I keep it for myself. Yes, I'm not as strong as I was. Yes, I couldn't fight all three. But I could go about letting them know that they didn't make that much of a difference to me. My life was not going to be destroyed because of them. That is so empowering as a story, and I think it's important for us to remember that. As individuals, we have the right and privilege to choose how we are going to think, how we are going to respond to whatever situations occur to us. You can have a temper tantrum, or you can look at things and realize that, you know, there's some things you can control and some things you can't. But what you can control, you make sure that you do it in the way that you want to do it, with your own integrity. Carol, thanks again for that beautiful story about Carl. It's summer. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, it's deliciously warm out. And, oh, how about a yummy dessert that's cool, special, not going to be heavy calories, and it's going to be so easy to make. Well, this is melon granita. Yes, and this is so yummy, and it will be something that if you serve dinner, if you want to treat yourself, it is worth doing. Now, this is all you're going to need. One medium-sized melon, any kind of melon, whatever your favorite melon is, cantaloupe, honeydew, whatever. And you're going to need, with that, 2/3 of a cup of sugar, 1 teaspoon of freshly squeezed lemon or lime juice, 3/4 of a cup of water, and a pinch of salt. Let me give it to you again. 1 medium-sized melon, 2/3 of a cup of sugar, 1 teaspoon of freshly squeezed lemon or lime juice, 3/4 of a cup of water, and a pinch of salt. Now, this is all you need to do. Now, this is enough for 2 people maybe three. So you're not going to be making a whole bunch, but I'm sure you could double the recipe quite easily. Peel your melon, split it in half, scoop out the seeds, cut the melon in chunks, and puree the melon in a blender or a food processor with your sugar, your lemon or lime juice, water, and salt until it's absolutely smooth. Easy enough. Everything goes into the Cuisinart. Pour your mixture into a dish and place it in the freezer. Now set a timer. About 1 hour later, you want to go back and check it. Once it begins to freeze around the edges, take a fork and stir the mixture, breaking up the frozen parts near the edges into smaller chunks. And you want to rake them towards the center. Put it back in the freezer. Now you continue to check this mixture and rake the frozen parts every 30 minutes until real fine crystals have formed. Deliciously refreshing. I'd say add just a touch of vanilla to it if you want. And, you know, if you want to experiment with this, because this is not a real big, complicated recipe, try different flavors. Try different fruits and see how they work. You might want to add a little bit of nuts into this if that's something that you enjoy. Delicious, refreshing, and healthful. Good stuff. Donna Sebo here. If you'd like to give me a buzz, the telephone number to call is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. If you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, let me do my thing, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you would like to ask me about. Animal, vegetable, mineral, it doesn't make any difference. So again, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. Well, I found myself, since here in the Pacific Northwest the sun finally decided to shine, which was a good thing, that I needed to be out in the garden, and there were so many things that I wanted to do because the weather had been sort of stinking for a while. Well, now that the sun's out, it's a great time to do some, you know, changing of plants, maybe making them into new cuttings and transplanting them into bigger pots, which I had to do with one that was in my office. It just really was in need of healthier soil, and it needed to be put into a bigger pot. It had just absolutely outgrown it. So I was out doing it, and I thought, you know, there are so many things that we can use that we don't think of that we can decorate with plants that maybe most of the year looks like a bunch of junk in the yard. And I was observing some of the things that we had, for example, like an old wheelbarrow. That makes a great, great planter. It really does. If you want to spruce it up a little bit, maybe paint your weather-beaten wheelbarrow. Ours, one we have one that's so old it's got a hole in the bottom. Well, that's great for drainage. So just put in a bunch of soil and just go ahead and fill it up and just let those blooms grow, because when the sun comes out, I know here in the Pacific Northwest, everything grows abundantly. Try getting old tubs, old buckets. Just fill them up with soil and put plants in them. Let them grow. You'll have all kinds of plants that just sort of dangle over the edge, and they will just look gorgeous. Old pans, just all kinds of things. Of course, if you're living in an apartment, living in a space that's sort of smaller, you may want to be able to have those types of things like tomatoes and such in pots that you can easily move about and around. Window boxes are great. They look absolutely wonderful. We've put some on the railings of our patio deck that we've got, which is quite large, and we put it on there. Oh, they just look gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. So whatever you do, if you want to keep them blooming all summer, check out all kinds of stuff that's on sale right now. Figure out what works best in what pots, fertilize it, and forget it. You've got the special release fertilizer you can get. Also, when your plants, when your blooms start dying, remove the wilted flowers. Why you should do that is that your plant puts its energy into ripening the seeds in those seed pods. not making new flowers. So break off or cut off large blooms individually. And for plants with lots of little blossoms, grab the scissors and give them, I guess what you'd call it, a trim. Do that. And prune for more petals. If you have petunias, they get sort of leggy, cut them back. The prune stems will branch, making for a bushier plant. And think big to water less. If you pick extra-large containers, a 12-inch pot will stay moist twice as long as an 8-inch one. So you won't have to water it as frequently. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. Don't go away. We're going to be back with more good things. And give me a buzz if you want to chat.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227, Canadians, 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. I know that so many of you listening to the show have real soft hearts when it comes to animals, and I'm one of those people myself. I'm an avid dog lover, but I love cats. I just really have such an appreciation for animals overall, and I was watching a program last night about two people, one woman who is in England, another man who's back in Tennessee, who get dogs from rescue groups. And often these are animals that just, you could not place them anywhere, nobody would want them, and they take these animals when they can, and they'll take what are considered the biggest rascals, the worst temperament, all of this, and they'll see what they can do. And it was quite amazing to watch what these two individuals did with animals that were considered incorrigible. One was a bloodhound, the other one was a particular kind of sheepdog. And I came across some stories that I just thought were so significant regarding animals, and it's truly amazing what a little bit of love and care can do and how these animals can make such difference. Now, Mikey is an abused lab. He was left in a cardboard box in a shelter parking lot. He was just a puppy. 6 months old, he weighed only 10 pounds. That meant he was about 20 pounds under his normal weight. Terribly injured, and a lot of places would have put him down. We've got a caller, so I'm going to take this caller, but I'll tell you about Mikey and his amazing story when we finish. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Kimberly from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Kimberly. All right, let's get down to business with you. The first thing I'm looking at is a disturbance caused by another individual that is going to make you wonder if you should continue the association with them. You need to work with the facts. You need to be sure that your emotions are out of this so that your judgment is done with clear understanding and perspective. You don't want to burn the bridge with this person. If you choose to step away from working with them and interacting with them, it can be done in a manner that is not going to make them an enemy. It does not mean you have to compromise yourself. You can just say very simply, this is not going to work. I don't want you to go through unnecessary stress, nor do I want to go through unnecessary stress. I wish you well. And just thank them for whatever they do. There is a person here that you need to cut the ties with, and this is something that you will have to make the decision about. No one else is going to be able to do it for you. It is not going to be an end of everything kind of a decision. It just means you must rethink your strategy and look at having someone else, perhaps, that you can interact with that is going to be more compatible with you. Also, I'm looking at a need to go to the dentist. I think you're going to find that there is a problem with a tooth, and it's really odd. It's as if there's a high level of sensitivity in a tooth, and I'm wondering if maybe the enamel in a certain spot on the tooth has become thin. And to me, it's on the left side of my mouth when I'm feeling it in the lower part of the jaw. It's just a very interesting sensation. It's not excruciatingly painful. But I would say you need to talk to a dentist about it to make sure that it doesn't get to a point where it could be very, very uncomfortable for you. What's on your mind, Kimberly? What do you want to ask me?
Well, I'm starting to work as an intern, a volunteer at a local radio station. Do you see that as being something successful?
Oh, I think it's a marvelous thing to do because it's going to show you the part of the world of broadcasting that you've never seen before. And I think it's going to give you a tremendous amount of insight and also a level of confidence for yourself. So I think it's a good idea. I think you're going to have a wonderful time and you are going to come to know some very, very special people. So I think it's a very good experience for you to have. I think it's marvelous.
Okay.
So volunteer for everything you possibly can do.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going back to that person cutting ties and not burning bridges. Do you see that as a woman or a man?
To me, it appears to be a female.
Okay.
Yeah. But I wouldn't stress myself over it. Just keep in mind that when the occasion comes up and you recognize things and you recognize your buttons are being pushed and you don't like the way they're being pushed by this individual, you have to ask yourself how you will resolve it. Because it's just who this person is. That's all.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for your call.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, I'm almost out of time. I'll have to share the story about Mikey with you, this lab that was horribly, horribly abused. But we'll get to that on Monday. Meanwhile, remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You have a great life, a wonderful batch of gifts that the universe has given you. Don't be afraid to share them with people, and don't be afraid to open up that box of gifts inside of you and let it breathe and let it have life, because that is what makes you the special individual that you are. Donna Sebo here, same planet time, same space, same place, right here on bbsradio.com on Monday. We'll talk to you then. Bye for now.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Hi, Peggy Lee Quayler here. Thanks for listening to Songs from My Stories Untold album. Copies of the album are available from cdbaby.com/CD/Peggy Lee with an A. And thanks for listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com, the number one internet radio network on the planet.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Hi, this is Brentwood from Legion of Love. Just letting you know you can now hear some of our new released and unreleased tracks on our website, legionoflove.com. You can also purchase our EPs, Gray Matter Tunes and Matters of the Heart, as well as all of our singles, including Shine a Light and Love is the Answer, at most major download sites. And of course, you can hear them on BBS Radio, the number one internet radio network in the world. Peace and love.
Wars and rumors, who's our next enemy? You've got what we want, ooh, you better give it to me. If you resist, ooh, you're a terrorist, see. I'll take everything you got, my way of setting you free. They quell objectioners, they kill the messengers. They quell objectioners. They kill the messengers up against the wall. And they call this living, living on earth. They call this living.
call this living, living on earth. They call this living, living on earth. The rich get richer, making more war. Richer and richer, making more poor. An eye for an eye, but turn the other cheek. As long as nothing interferes, nothing better stop the 40-hour week. Lies and misdirection are all the same.
Lies and misdirection are all the same.
Lies and misdirection are all your bad.
Lies and misdirection,
they work until you're dead. And they call this living, living on earth. They call this living, living on earth. They call this living, living on earth. They call this living, living on earth.
State your problem.
Picking up transmission from Mars.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Almeen, the greatest mystic of our time, invites you to join her as she shares powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Her books and audio library have become roadmaps for those seeking truth in an age of deception. Her live events are unparalleled in the transfiguration of participants into immortal mastery and beyond. Now you can experience the profound wisdom and incredible message of hope she has for mankind right here on BBS Radio. Friday nights at